Well, if you have your Bible, please turn to Nehemiah. That will be the main section that we're on tonight. Well, as I was saying this morning, we did have a very good break, and I hope you all had a chance to get a break as well. As I think most of you know, we were up at the North Coast, but we only got into the sea twice. As a family, we've always been a family for trying to get into the sea. We love swimming in the sea, but we only got in a couple of times. One of them was, if you'll allow this little bit of humour, one of them was with the bodyboard. You can imagine me on a bodyboard, can't you? Yes. Might show you a picture in a minute, but not. Nobody's going to dare go to sleep now for the next minute. But you know, often when I think of people bodyboarding and trying to catch the wave, it makes me think of something spiritual. That's typical of a minister, even when he's bodyboarding, is it? You'll be thinking I'm very holy, but not quite. But let me show you a picture. Wait, we see now. forgive me, a little bit of humour. I can honestly say I was in a wee bit of a rush, and I googled just about surfing on the wave, and that was one of the very first that came up. But just in case you think that's a bit far-fetched to be me, what about this one? Well, you can imagine, but probably wasn't me at Port Stewart Strand that. But anyway, here's my often actually when I see people surfing or when people are trying to do a bit of bodyboarding, and you know yourself, some of you will have tried it. You try and you catch the wave, and sometimes you get it and maybe not so well, and other times you miss the whole thing and you're just kind of left there slightly stranded. And it often makes me think of how in the Christian life there is a very real sense in which as we seek to walk with the Lord Jesus, we seek to be in step with, if you like, if I can put it this way, with the wave of God, with the wave of the Spirit, with the moving of the Spirit, and to be in step, to, as it were, catch the wave that God is doing, and to be in step with what he's doing rather than running off and doing our own thing. More often than not, we just don't catch that, and we're left slightly stranded and struggling in our own strength and not getting very, very far. And I suppose tonight what I want to think about a little bit, I want to focus a little bit on prayer. There's so many things that could be said about prayer. Professor Jim Packer, some of you will know that name, famous for his book, Knowing God. Some of you probably have read some of it, maybe all of it. And Jim Packer famously once said something like this. He said, "I believe that prayer is the measure of a man or a woman spiritually in a way that nothing else can measure." And one of the most important questions that any Christian can ever think about is to think a little bit about their prayer life. And I know sometimes that can be a slightly disheartening thing to think about, because if truth be told, prayer at times is one of our greatest struggles. And you know, folks, as I thought about that, about what that man said about prayer being the measure of a man or a woman, it's also true, isn't it, that prayer is the measure of any church. Can I throw this question out? How do you think we're getting on in this church as a praying church? The school principal's report said, could do better. And in many ways that can be said, yes, of us here, but I'm sure of most churches. So I hope that tonight some of the things that I say will not leave you kind of deflated, so deflated that you can't even come and get a cup of tea afterwards, and you'll just kind of slink out of the church. That's not the purpose. I hope that something of what is said, that it will challenge us and encourage us, actually, to say, well, yeah, as the principal says, could do better, but I will endeavour to do better by God's grace. As you know, we have a mission coming up, just over 6 months. It's not very long, sure it's not. Can I ask you tonight, have you begun to pray about the mission? Have you been thinking even for a few times over the summer weeks of the two men that I mentioned earlier in the summer who will be coming to speak? The Reverend Scott Woodburn from Balnahinch and the Reverend Albert Baxter from Port Glenowen. Have we been praying for these men? Well, if not, now's the time to resolve, to begin to pray. There will, over the course, hopefully of not too long in the future, be little cards distributed that will encourage us to be praying and to help us to be praying. But let's start right now to really focus upon these things. The book of Nehemiah is the story of a man who had a vision. And it's interesting that as we come to this chapter tonight, that one of the basic lessons that is in Nehemiah chapter 1 is that any building for God begins with prayer. It's a very simple lesson, and yet it's one that we need to be reminded of again and again. If you have your Bible, I know many of you do have your Bible, just look with me at what it actually says. It says, in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, while I was in the citadel of Susa, Hanani, one of my brothers, came from Judah with some other men. And I want you to notice here a couple of things. I want you to notice what Nehemiah asked and what he heard and then what he did. There's nothing complicated about that. What did he ask? Well, verse 2, he asked, it says, I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that survived the exile and also about Jerusalem. He says, how are the people getting on? How are the people in Jerusalem doing? How are things in Jerusalem? How are things in that great city? How are things spiritually? That's what he asked. And what did he hear? Well, verse 3 tells us, they said to Nehemiah, well, those who survived the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem's broken down and its gates have been burned with fire. So he asks the question, how are things going spiritually? How often do you and I ask that question? Not so much maybe about Jerusalem, but about Kilkeel, about the community that we live in. How are things going spiritually? And then he hears the response, oh, well, actually, things are not good. And if you were to ask people today, how are things going spiritually? That may well also be the response. How are things going spiritually in our nation? Well, not good. Poor to miserable, probably. And what did he do? Well, we're told here in verse 4, it's a very dramatic verse. It's a very moving verse because it says, when I heard these things, I sat down and wept. Now, there's the measure of somebody. There's the measure of a person who has gone beyond making some profession of faith that takes them to church once or twice on a Sunday. Here is a person who is deeply concerned about the things of God, about the things of Christ, that it moves them that on hearing that things are not really good, that they are so deeply moved that they sit down and they start to cry. Now, I'm not going to take you on a guilt trip and ask you how many times have you sat down and cried about things like this. But have we known something of that? And we're told here that he mourned and he fasted and he prayed for some days, it says, before the God of heaven. There's something very moving here, isn't there? And there's something else that may not be apparent when we read this. Let me give you an insight here. What Nehemiah heard was not something new. He heard that the walls were broken down. He heard that the doors had been burned. But the truth is, the walls had been broken down and the doors had been burned for possibly over 100 years. That doesn't become apparent when we read it the first time. In other words, these facts about Jerusalem were possibly known already to some extent by Nehemiah, but this time it comes to him in a new and fresh way. It hits him. It hits him hard. And sometimes in the Christian life, young folk, older folk, whatever, we know things. But what we actually need is to, by the grace of God and through the work of the Spirit of God, to be hit by these things in such a way that we will be deeply moved to actually do something. Some months ago, I preached a sermon, Oh for a Burden. And that's really what it's talking about here, isn't it? Oh for a Burden. Let me ask you a very straight question, maybe even slightly uncomfortable question, but are you tonight in any shape or form burdened? Yes, there's things in all of our lives that we probably are burdened about, but at a spiritual level, just for a moment, can I ask you, are you burdened for people connected with this church? And this is not a harsh criticism, but people literally who never come to this church, but they're connected to this church, and we would love to see them coming, but for some reason they don't. Are you in any way concerned about that? And by the way, I'm not having a go at anyone here. I'm just saying in a general way. Are you in any way concerned and burdened for people in your own family who as yet do not know the Lord Jesus? I've discovered in life that it's so possible, and this may sound a strange thing, I've discovered in life that it is so possible to go through life, even as a Christian, and even to go through a whole week, never mind longer, and not to have prayed for a dear brother or sister or father or mother or aunt or uncle or cousin whom you know and love. And why does that happen? We need to be burdened. We need to be more concerned about these things. To be burdened for our community. To be burdened for our church. To be burdened for our families. To be burdened for the kingdom of God. I could develop this. I could go down the road of asking, consider the walls of your life. Nehemiah here was deeply troubled when he heard about the walls of Jerusalem. We could go down the road, consider the walls of your life, your Bible reading, your prayer, your witness. Have these things, if truth be told, been eroded? Is it the case tonight that for some here tonight that these things have crumbled? Are you concerned? Nehemiah here is concerned for the glory of God. And one of the things that comes out in this wonderful prayer, and we're not going to work through it, we don't have the time to work through it tonight, phrase by phrase, but one of the wonderful things that really comes out is his concern for the glory of God, his concern for God and for God's name. If you look through this prayer, at least on a couple of occasions, for example, verse 9, for example, verse 11, it speaks about God's name. You see, Nehemiah is concerned for the glory of God and the cause of God's name. One of the books I'm reading just at the moment is the story of a man called the Reverend James Glasgow, who with his colleague, the Reverend Alexander Kerr, were the very first missionaries to go from the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. Don't be put off by the date, but it was 1840. Alexander Kerr and James Glasgow went to India with their wives. Took them about 6 months to get there in a boat. Alexander Kerr lasted 2 months and died. But one of the things, if you read about those men, and one of the things actually that as they sent, in the 2 short months Alexander Kerr was there, he wrote back to the church here in Ulster and in this part of Ireland. And of course they were absolutely mortified and horrified when they heard that he had lasted 2 months. But one of the things that Alexander Kerr was often concerned about was the glory of God and the concern for the name of Christ to be exalted. And you know, God works in a mysterious way. As a result of his death after only 2 months, God used that and spoke to many, many people and actually awakened many people in the at times Orthodox Presbyterian Church, but at times a bit dead. And as a result of that, there were others who said, "We will go." And one of the things here in this prayer is that Nehemiah is greatly concerned for the glory of God. But let me say a couple of things before I finish. And hopefully this will just push it on there, Michael, please. Just a couple of things about prayer. Prayer is to be foundational. Let me just give you a wee insight into this book and it'll make the point. I don't have to say a whole lot about it. If you have your Bible open, just glance over to chapter 6 and verse 15, for example. Chapter 6 and verse 15 is a very important verse in Nehemiah. It tells us that the wall was completed on the 25th day of Elul, just a Hebrew name for one of the Hebrew months, in 52 days. 52 days to build the wall. If you glance back to the start of Nehemiah, at the start of chapter 1 it says, in the month of Kislev. At the start of chapter 2 it says, in the month of Nisan. Now you just have to take it from me, without this being very complicated, it's not complicated. The time frame between Kislev and Nisan is almost 4 months. Chapter 1 of Nehemiah is about 4 months. How long did it take to build the wall? 52 days, not even 2 months. My point is very simple. In this book of Nehemiah, more than twice the length of time is spent thinking about prayer and actually praying than was even spent building the wall. Do you see that point? He prayed for 4 months and he built for less than 2. Do you see the point? You see, sometimes in the church we get it wrong. We start to do this, that and the other thing, and then at the end we tag on a prayer or two. Whereas the biblical way is to pray and to seek God and then to build. And so, folks, all I can do is say to you, prayer is at the foundation. It's not some superficial thing that we tag on. It's actually foundational. And that is why we say to people, come and pray. If you want to pray in this church at the moment, for example, there's a Tuesday morning prayer time. I know that doesn't suit all that many people. But certainly over these coming months, the first Thursday of the month is probably going to focus on prayer. I can be more specific about that maybe in a week's time. The second Thursday of the month is the PW. And the third and fourth Thursdays are going to focus on prayer. Why that emphasis? Because prayer is foundational. There is no point in us going to a mission next March and on the night before the mission starts say we need to have a prayer meeting. Well, we could do that. It would be better than nothing. But to show the Lord that we are serious about longing that this mission would be used by him, we need over these next 6 months to really be serious about prayer. Prayer is foundational. And the prayer here in Nehemiah is also a very focused prayer. And again, I'm not going to get into all the details, but you know the little acronym for prayer, ACTS, A-C-T-S, A for adoration, C for confession, T for thanksgiving, and S for supplication. Well, you have many of those things here. In verse 5, you have adoration. Look at it. O Lord God, the great and awesome God. You see how he's adoring God? He's worshiping God. That's how we pray. Verses 6 and 7, there's confession. He's confessing that the sins that he has committed and that the people around him have committed. And folks, when we come to pray, don't be a bit scared to say, Lord, I have sinned. We have sinned. We've made a mess of things at times. Let's not be so prim and proper that we feel we can't do that. And then towards the end of the prayer, there's supplication. You can see that in verses 8 through to 11. And he's really appealing to God to come and to do certain things. And he gets very specific at the end. This is a point that you'll have noticed before. Look at verse 11. O Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man. He was going to go to speak to the king. He becomes very specific. Lord, help me today. Help me to know what to say to this great king. And sometimes we need to be very specific in our prayers. Yes, we can pray, Lord, bless the mission in next March. But let's be more specific. Lord, help us as a church to be in step with you. Lord, help me to know who in my family or in my neighborhood that I could invite to some of the activities. Lord, help that person to see that I care about them and that I long that they would come to see their need of Jesus as their own Savior and Lord. To be very specific. That is why I read tonight from Jeremiah 29, not because I was going to speak about it at any length, but just to say, go away and read that passage. Jeremiah 29, 11 through 13. Verse 13 says this, you will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. I've always been challenged by this quotation, and I'm going to tie this together in a moment, so I'm nearly finished. But listen carefully. There's a couple of things here I feel that you should really listen to and take to heart. A Christian once said this, a man called Samuel Chadwick. He said, the one concern, think about this, the one concern of the devil is to keep the saints from praying. He He's having some success, is he not? He fears nothing from prayerless studies, prayerless work, prayerless religion. He laughs at our toil. He mocks at our wisdom and clever ideas. But he trembles when we pray. I wonder, do we believe that? Because folks, you see, if we did believe that, over this coming autumn season, there would be quite a few saying, you see, on a Thursday night, from 8 o'clock until 9 o'clock, 60 minutes, I know where I'm going to be. I'm going to go to the prayer meeting. If we really believe that, why should the devil keep you at home? Brother and sister in Christ, as we start this 2014-15 season, and I do finish with this, I appeal to you as your pastor and as your minister. Sometime this week, if you can, grab 5 minutes and get alone with God and ask him to put a burden and a concern upon your heart that your walk with the Lord would be even more effective and better than it currently is. And remember, a minister always preaches, first of all, to himself. I can assure you that I will be doing the same thing. But here's the lovely thing and the promise. Jeremiah chapter 29. You'll seek me and you'll find me if you seek me with all your heart. With all your heart. No half-heartedness here. No half-hearted measures. Cry unto God. Ask him to come and touch you afresh. Ask him to come and touch this church that we might be used, not for the glory of Kilkeel Presbyterian Church, not at all. That's immaterial. His glory.